Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in to Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
Excellent throw and catch, just gets inside, uses his big body. No answer for number 87.
And former NFL linebacker Joe Mays.
Mays missed him first. And in typical North Dakota State toughness, Mays got up and stayed with it and got Newton from behind.
Players Only, presented by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit.
What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? Players Only is back in the building, just like we are each and every week, 6 to 7 p.m. here on 610 Sports. Chopping it up about the Chiefs. We got joy, we got happiness, and we got another opportunity for a Super Bowl trophy in the building with me. Joe Mays is not here, handling his business down at the Leia Center. If you don't know about the Leia Center, check it out. Massage, cryotherapy, a whole bunch of different holistic stuff, and some good things to get the wifey or the significant other to get down there. My wife and I have gone down there on several occasions. I know a lot of people here at Intercom have done the same, so make sure you go out and check out and support my man Joe Mays. And then we got...
Every week, man, I'm just sitting here waiting to see what you got to say.
Can I at least introduce you?
Well, let me get my man Joe Mays. Whoop, whoop. I had to give my man Joe Mays his whoop, whoop, because every week he loves to do that.
Now I'm not even introducing you.
You don't have to. People know who I am.
Anyway, that's Sean Barber. There you go. Sean Barber, former linebacker in the NFL. Didn't remember that I played against him back in 1999. Yeah. I probably whopped him and pancaked him or something. But that's all right. We can get that. We can get to that at some point. The film don't lie.
We ain't on the film. You showed me a film I'm not on there from a game that I'm not a part of, and you keep trying to tell me just because I was on an active roster in 99 and that team played your team. Like, I might have been hurt. It was a lot of things that might have gone on. I don't remember.
Scared? You might have been scared?
We talked about fear.
What about fear?
Some people use that to determine, you know, face everything and run. That's not my definition of fear.
What's your definition?
Face everything and rise.
Rise?
Rise, sucker. Rise.
Well, there you have it. Players Only, we are back. It is Sean and I only, and we miss Joe, but I'm sure he'll be back next week for that Super Bowl version of Players Only, the second to last show of the year. We'll come back to you that following week after the Super Bowl to recap all the greatness of 2020 and this playoff and Super Bowl run, hopefully a Super Bowl championship in tow. As always, our Players Only show is brought to you by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Barbershop, I know we are excited about the Super Bowl run and how it's coming up. And for everyone out there, we do have Jay Southland Tow Service text line open, as well as the Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling Hotline, 913-576-7610. Shoot us out some notes. We got Julio in the building. He gave us some constructive criticism, told us our last week's show was on point, and that was mainly because we got a lot of activity from the text line and the phone line. So we are welcoming everyone out there that has something to say about this Chiefs team, maybe something that's going on around the NFL or in sports, social justice, coaches, hires. We're going to talk about it all today in our hour. But Barbershop, before we get to all that, we got to recap the Bills game. It seems like that was like 4 weeks ago because everybody is still on their high about getting a chance to go to a second straight Super Bowl. But what were your thoughts about the Bills game?
I mean, I think we just handled business. We did what we needed to do. We kept, for the most part, kept Allen in the pocket. Brought some exotic blitzes that I think that Coach Spags kind of had under his hat, under his sleeve all season long that obviously Allen wasn't ready for. The offensive line wasn't ready to check out and check into things. Ran some zero coverages, ran some one deep, some two deep. The safeties, man, when I go back and look at the film, the safeties were so great at disguising their coverage. I mean, it wasn't until like almost 2 seconds into the snap where I really could be confident what Honey Badger was doing. Juan Thornhill, Dirty Dan, those guys were playing quarters, halves, helping, robbering. Man, that hit on Diggs, that Thornhill put on that, like being intentional, being aggressive. It just kept, even as a guy looking at the film after I already knew the outcome of the game. I still was questioning myself exactly what coverage some of these things are. And so I know from a quarterback position, if you can make yourself look complete, it's like a chameleon. I mean, if you can disguise things to a point where I watch the Chiefs every week.
Yeah.
And I still didn't recognize some of the concepts
that
they were doing on the back end. And that allowed Frank Clark to get home. And we had 10 quarterback hurries, 4 rushes, 4 sacks. 10 quarterback knockdowns, whatever, and that one big interception.
You know what? Searching for Bobby Fischer is one of my favorite movies. I'm a big chess guy, or at least like to watch when, chess matches. And I grew up on the East Coast. Both of us grew up on the East Coast, but I'm closer to New York City. So you see the Central Park and the chess matches, the things that go on in the movies, and how they play the speed chess. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
I kind of felt like the Bills game was a game of that speed chess in the beginning, and then inevitably somebody starts slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you see in those movies and in those matches, it's everything is pop, 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 move, pop, move, pop. And then all of a sudden it becomes move, pop. You know what I mean? It becomes slow. And I kind of felt like the Bills had a conscious effort that they were trying to come into Arrowhead Stadium, establish the tempo, establish how the game was going to go to their speed level. Josh Allen, they didn't huddle early in the game. They just got up to the line of scrimmage, and he was trying to call out the plays. And what Sean McDermott recognized, I want to say maybe around the second or third series, is that there was a lot of confusion that was creeping into the head of Josh Allen, that he wasn't figuring things out as smoothly and quickly as he would have liked. And the fact that they were settling for field goals and not capitalizing on big plays. And even when they did have the big plays, it wasn't on schedule. And for people out there that don't know, when you say on schedule, if it's a 3-step drop, it's 3-step, 3-step throw, 5-step hitch throw, 7-step hitch throw. And if it's not on that, then it's off schedule. And now, like Patrick Mahomes rolling to the right and throwing back to Travis Kelce on the left, that's off schedule. And I noticed that in the game from the booth that they were moving fast, but they weren't moving efficient. Mm. And then what happened is you had a young quarterback and a wily, knowledgeable coach that pulled the reins back a little bit and slowed things down. Then all of a sudden they were huddling and they were taking up some time on the clock. And on the play clock and moving the ball in a more normal offensive approach, as opposed to stepping on the gas is like racing around on a video game, and you got your foot on the gas pedal down, around at, Dave and Buster's or whatever. And then all of a sudden you start to realize, whoa, I need to pull my foot off this gas pedal a little bit so I can have more control. And at that point, that's when I recognized the Chiefs won. Now, the score obviously still needed to unfold, but those two factors, the fact that they were settling for field goals and the fact that they were the first group to back off the gas pedal, slow down the speed chess, told me that the game was already won by the Chiefs, because the Chiefs didn't make any of those changes. Mm-hmm. They came after with corner blitzes and safety blitzes off of each edge and Honey Badger lining at the line of scrimmage, then backing out to deep middle, Rover over the middle, bracket coverage on Stephon Diggs. I mean, they were doing so many different things and rolling the dice at the same time. And sometimes rolling the dice, you might leave somebody open. They left Devin Singletary open on a swing route that probably could have been close to going to the house, and he dropped the ball. They just didn't make that play. So I thought it was a well-orchestrated, well-planned attack against a dangerous team and a dangerous quarterback. And then at the end, anytime you force a team to start throwing punches, that's when you know it's over. They knew it was over, and then it became personal to them, and they got in their feelings. Some of those guys probably played that game for free after getting fines for throwing punches and taking helmets off and talking to the refs and so on and so forth. And that hasn't come out. But I thought the Chiefs showed that was the number two team in the AFC. And someone asked me about next year and what teams from the playoffs this year will show themselves as a strong competitor to the Chiefs. And I couldn't answer that question because there's such a gap in the AFC between number one and number two. That's what showed on Sunday, is that the Bills might be number two, but they are so far down away from the Chiefs that 3 through 7 that were in the playoffs got to be even lower than that. And I think that makes for this special team, special organization, a special run of 3 straight years hosting an AFC championship and basically being a few inches away from winning all three and representing the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you can also, thanks to the text line with 913, that says the Bills de-stunned after KC dropped 3 TDs in the second quarter. Obviously, at the end of the first quarter, I looked up at the scoreboard and I saw 9-0, and I was like, man, like...
That's all you got?
That's, man, like you hit us with a haymaker. We dropped a punt. We gave you the ball on the 1-yard line. You had a couple of chances for field goal. And our offense is just getting warmed up and about to go. And the second quarter came, and then it was like 6 plays, 14-9. Now the defense for the Bills are on their heels because they can't give up. Now, so now the pressure is like totally, we're putting the pressure on them in every phase of that standpoint. And really, at that point in the ball game is when I thought it was going to be like, that's it. Like we took their best punch. We didn't swagger. It didn't phase us.
Yeah.
And now we came out rolling and we put them down on the canvas multiple times. I was wanted to ask you at the beginning of the game when the Bills didn't come out for introduction, did that ever get explained or talked about or even how did that come out from the booth standpoint?
Yeah, so Mitch and I are in the booth. We're calling the game. We get through our pregame show. We talk about my keys to victory. And then I recognize, I'm sure Mitch already knew it, but I recognize, hey, the other side is vacant. Mm-hmm. Nobody's out there. The Chiefs come running out. And I thought, well, surely the Chiefs wouldn't be the first team coming out of the tunnel on their home game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I put two and two together. And I thought there was some gamesmanship by Sean McDermott. I don't know if it was a player-led deal or if it was a coach-led deal. Let's get in their heads a little bit by not being out there for the home of the Chiefs. But I thought that to some extent, again, there's going to be people that might hit me back on social media because of the kneeling and other stuff in the past. If I call this classless, then am I being hypocritical? I don't think I'm being hypocritical because being on the sideline, to me, especially if the other team is on the sideline, to me, that's normal.
Yeah.
Now, what you do on the sideline based on your beliefs and so on and so forth, that's something that we can talk about a whole separate argument. But to me, you should be on the sideline in that situation, especially for the right to go to the Super Bowl. Now, if you kneel, if you are standing but don't have your hand over your chest, whatever that is, that's a whole separate conversation. You can't lump everything together. But I thought there was a little level of classlessness in that. And it didn't work for him.
So I had a chance. I'm really good friends with Sean McDermott. You know, we was at the Eagles together. He was a coach when I was there. I'm going to try to reach out to him and find out for some clarification exactly what is that all about. But I think it was an excellent, like from a coaching standpoint, like you're saying, gamesmanship.
Yeah.
Because I think as a player being for the Chiefs and then being against the Chiefs, coming in here as an opponent and hearing the entire stadium when the national anthem goes, And it gets to that point when it's home of the, and you hear that roar of the crowd say Chiefs, it changes something.
It does.
It's like if I'm in the red, then it turns my level from a 10 to a 15.
Yeah.
But if I'm an opponent and I'm getting myself ready to go, and that national anthem come, I'm humbled, I'm honored, I'm trying to give the military their respect, and then I hear this crowd, this rumbles, home of the Chiefs, and it's like a wide awakening. It's like oh my
god,
what did I walk into? That, yeah, yeah. am I in a Thunderdome? Two men in a one man league? Like what did we sign up for here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like these jugglers are coming.
Yep.
And to me, if I was a coach, I would never be out there during a national. Just here in Arrowhead Stadium.
Oh, so you would?
I would never. I would find a way, some excuse, or like I don't want my players shook from that moment.
Yeah.
Because it takes too long to get back. In game
to get
mode.
Right.
It takes
can't
too
get
much.
Right.
No, can't get right after that, man. And but as our players know, as you know, with, I mean, the flyover.
Yeah.
Like all those moments to get you, you know, you already ready, you warm and ready, but it's those last boxes that need to be checked before you go out there and take somebody's head off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if I was a coach, I would definitely, I mean, I thought that when I saw them out over there, I was like, man, McDermott, you know, round one is his. Like to me, He got that off? At least he avoided that first punch.
Yeah. You know what? I understand it. I mean, I always told people from a player's perspective, we were up 7-0 before the kickoff.
Yep.
Because of the fans, because of how the kingdom rose up, and you were on this team, and I was on this team before the renovations when everybody was outside. It was just suites inside. You didn't have a really indoor aspect of it. And that roar during the national anthem, that brought you to a different level as a player, especially like there were times I'm an offensive guy, but I cover kickoffs. So I'm like, I want to kick off. Like, I hope we lose this. I hope we lose or hope we win it. And we defer and they take the ball because I really, really want. And I felt sometimes the different way if we didn't kick off versus when we received.
Yeah.
And that just tells you how crazy I am as well. But, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Going to recap quickly on the Bucks and the Packers game and the fact that we have old school versus new school in this Super Bowl representing maybe the handoff that everybody's talking about. And we still have to talk about Eric Bieniemy and the NFL hires around the league, and we're going to get back to that in the second quarter.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back, Players Only, back in the building each and every week, just like we are. We got Sean Barber. Joe Mays is not with us tonight.
Whoop, whoop.
Sean Barber and I am Danan Hughes, former wide receiver with the Chiefs, and this is the second quarter of our show. As each and every week, our show is sponsored by our friends at U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. We got the Comfort Systems Heating and Cooling Hotline open, as well as Jay's Southland Tow Service text line 913-576-7610. And we got some activity. Let's go to Dan and KCK. What's up, Dan?
Hi, Dane. Hi, Sean. Yeah, it was a great job by the defense. They did a really good job of containing Allen in the pocket. And I told my customer and my friend Dean that the Joe would stop Diggs. He wouldn't listen to me. 77 yards and a great. And it was great that they came and consoled Hardman. You know, he made a mistake, but he was there with the skill overcoat over the head. And Mahomes said, "Hey, we got a long ways to go." Then after that, 50-yard run. So it's a great job. Let's take care of the Patriots. I think Spagnuolo have a great. He owns Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Take care of yourself, guys.
We appreciate Dan. Dan needs to have, like, remember when they have the fastest 2 minutes on ESPN? That should be, like, Dan should be the fastest 60 seconds. Might even be 30 seconds. We appreciate you, Dan. We love the energy each and every week and totally agree with you on how they were able to build back up Mecole Hardman when he was down. That's probably one of my favorite takeaways from this AFC championship. I think it'll be one of the bigger stories of this season if they're able to cap off this Super Bowl with another win.
Yeah, depth in a roster sometimes prevents a coach from being able to go back to young guys after a mistake because you have so many guys deserving an opportunity and a chance when you miss that catch or fumble that ball or fumble that punt. Well, we got three other guys can do it. It's the next guy man up type mentality. But Coach Reed has shown over the past in the history when somebody makes a mistake, we can go back to Kareem Hunt, like, against the Patriots, that fumble on the first carry.
First carry of his career.
We just kept feeding him and feeding him the rest of the game, and he had a tremendous career breaking game against the Patriots. And again, with McCole Hartman, same thing, young guy. First, you know, in the second year, there's going to be some growing pains still. He's still developing as a kick returner, also as a wide receiver, and as a man, just as a young man. And like you said, he was so disappointed in himself. You saw him in the highlights on Twitter and everything, puts his head under the coat, and he has, you know, all the leaders coming over to him, right?
Yep.
Kelsey, Pat Mahomes, obviously his coaches, Coach Greg, Greg Lewis, all of them just continue, hey, man, long game. Go out there and make some plays, right? It's a team. Don't let the team down. Just continue to keep your head in it. And we got faith in you. Let's go make some plays. And that's what that young man did.
Yeah, to me, and I mentioned it during the post game, towards the end of the game as well, it was just like last year, an emotional game, probably not as emotional as last year's run to the Super Bowl, but it was emotional. And part of the reason why I enjoyed the AFC Championship this year so much was because a moment like that. And in the booth with Mitch, I kind of went on a rant about how strong and how deep that is from a player's perspective. Heck, I'm a father of three grandkids, and you always strive as a player to have that extra stamp of approval or endorsement of confidence from your coach, just like you would from your parents. And to see that enacted in real life in the most heated situation, like, there's no more satisfaction that McCole Hardman could have as a player than to know that Big Red looked in his eyes, EB looked in his eyes, Greg Lewis looked in his eyes and said, hey, we got you. We're coming back to you. And I can adamantly believe that in those guys speaking on the headsets and coming up with the plays for that drive after, they had that in mind. That was a factor in calling that reverse to McCole Hardman. That was a factor in throwing the bubble screen at the 2-yard line to McCole Hardman. You won't be able to convince me any different that that wasn't, hey, we got to get 17 back in this, and we got confidence, and we're going to show them. Even though there's all the other guys that can run the play, Tyreek can run a bubble screen, Tyreek can run a reverse, we've seen D-Rob run reverses and so on, we're going to get 17 back in the mix, and here's how we're going to do it on the next drive. Yeah. And here's how we're going to do it in the red zone. And to me, yeah, you want the win, and obviously the win comes first and foremost, but it just shows how much Andy and the staff believe as men that you still got to keep sharpening guys, and you can't let them be down, even trying to forsake a win for a loss or putting that on the line, because I don't think that comes into play. But that was definitely one of my highlights of this season, is to see that unfold in real life like it did.
Mindset, mindset, mindset. You're always trying to build guys to be ready and prepared to not react to what life does, but respond.
Yep.
Right? That's those two words, if you think about it, react and respond. Most people react to how life treats them. You get fired, you lose a job, you get sick. Somebody hits your car. All the things in life that can knock you kind of off your day. You react to it, and then you think about it later. Man, I overreacted.
Probably shouldn't have said it that.
But when you talk about the word respond, how are you going to respond when life knocks you down? You're going to think about it. You're going to have time to rebuild, regain your composure, and do exactly what McCole Hardman did. He responded to dropping that fumble.
And unlike all those scenarios that you just mentioned, there's usually not millions of people watching when we have those situations. And yet we think back and say, you know what, we could have responded differently. But imagine being on a stage where millions of people see your mistake and they're waiting for your response, and that's how you come through. So, yes, great, great testament to the leadership on this team, players and coaches, and just the mindset of brotherhood that they have. Appreciate it. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Jamaican Jim. What's going on, Jamaican Jim?
Hey, Ken. Jamaican Ken, man.
Oh,
what's
Tim.
Hey, you.
What's up? What's up, man?
You. Hey, I want to give you kudos, man. Kudos to you, man. You keep the analyze the game during the stadium. You keep everybody on the edge, man. Know what's coming. So I want to tell you, good job doing that. I want to give you kudos to you. You're on the AP, man. I just got a few things I want to share with you. talk about LeBron Bell. You think we need him for next year? Because I don't know how much he contributed to the team. And then penalty has been improved. I want to let you know that our penalty is cut down.
Yep.
And then the kicking team is getting better. We play those three phases like that we did last week. You know we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Appreciate you, Jamaican Tim. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate the support. We try to paint the color from the booth. Mitch is the best in the business, and I'm just right next to him trying to bring you guys an entertaining game with some insight that you may or may not see. Barbershop does it on the pregame and postgame show, a Chiefs Rewind, and you know, I try to bring it to you from the game's perspective as well. So we appreciate that support, and I agree. Cleaner football, this team, if they can play the three phases of the game in the way that they have, especially in this playoff run, we'll be hoisting a trophy next week.
Well, we talk about Coach Andy Reid. One of his strong points as a coach is making an environment for guys to learn. And we talk about what do the Chiefs do better than everybody else. They do a lot more motioning and shifts, shifts and motions, right? 80-some percent of the time. The thing that leads to with most teams when they try to recreate what the Chiefs are doing, false starts, misalignments, illegal formations. And those kind of penalties, most coaches get frustrated and they stop doing it.
Yeah.
So they you know, we're not going to shift in motion. We're going to line up and run the play and go about it. That adds an extra layer of every time we shift in motion, the defense has to – your eyes have to move from a different key. As a linebacker against a certain set, right, I'm keying the center guard running back triangle. Well, when you shift in motion, Tariq Hill, well, now I got to go to the tight end, and now I'm looking at the tight end tackle. Well, then he comes back in motion. Well, now I got to go back to that primary. So every play, you got multiple players on the defense have to train their eyes to go from a different key to a different key. And now when that play is run and you got pulling guards and you got the reverse motion, man, everybody's eyes are everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to some of those big plays like we saw the Kelce on that rollout to the right with the throwback to Kelce. One guy's eyes was in the wrong place, and he thought he had something when he didn't, and that left Kelce wide open.
Yeah, I'll specifically go back to, and I know he's a stud right now. He's going to get better. Patrick Queen, the linebacker for the Ravens. When we played the Ravens earlier this season, it looked like his head was spinning around, looking side to side. He didn't know which direction things were coming from. So I think a lot of times people, especially if plays don't work or they get too cute or you feel like they rolled the dice too much, you get down against all the shifts and motions and the whirly bird motion that you see Tyreek Hill run as well as Mecole Hardman. There's a method to the madness.
Yes.
And like you said, it's about getting guys unsure about their responsibilities and undisciplined with their eyes, because that's where you can take advantage of those miscues. So, yeah, I love the fact, the creativity of this offense. I think it adds some excitement to it, and we're going to see a lot more. You got Big Red and Eric Bieniemy and Steve Spagnuolo with 2 weeks to formulate a game plan for the biggest game of the season. So I can only imagine, just like we saw last year with the Rose Bowl set and shovel passes and option run for the touchdown and, you know, WASP, all that creativity will be on center stage next week.
You know, certain coaches, they overthink things. I think if you listen to some audio of Sean McVay with the Rams, he talks about how much he watched too much film.
Yeah.
He had too much time to develop too many different concepts, and he thought the Patriots doing things they didn't do. And if you think about Coach Andy Reid, when he's given a bye week, given the extra time to think about things, it's like they have time to really, like the text line said, Kansas City is a tight team. We tighten the screws up. Tighten the screws up. We don't become tight as a team. We don't play like we're scared. Everybody does those fine-tuned details about what you're supposed to be doing, what your job, and which – We find time to detail our work is what it's called.
Yeah.
Professionals, pros, championship mindset is about detailing your work.
Well, we're going to get more detailed about this team. I want to talk more about the 2019 versus 2020 run, the difference between each team and where we stand right now. And we still have to talk about the NFL hires. We're going to talk about that after halftime.
This is Players Only with Damon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
Halftime's over. Players Only is back. Sean Barber in the building. I am Danon Hughes, and we got active phone lines, text lines, and we want to get right to it. Brian from Lee Summit, what you got going on, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. Also love your take on Mecole Hardman and the whole team just rallying around him. But what I wanted to ask, there's a lot of stuff going on in the media about, you know, the Chiefs maybe sandbagging the half part of the season and maybe not trying as hard as they possibly could. But, I mean, you guys as former players, is there any validity to that? I mean, is there any case where people actually do that? And appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Barbershaw, what you got?
I mean, I can speak from the defensive side of the ball. When you're developing a complete defense, there are different phases and different things you actually work on week in and week out, right? You have your five plays that's kind of known as your bread and butter. Things that you, this is who we are. We're going to be a in-your-face press team. We're going to do cover zero. It's certain things you got to do. Well, around that those fundamental elements, there are still skill development things you have to work on week in and week out. And sometimes you turn the page. You want to work on that. And I said that there were certain elements of that Raiders game that we had, you know, we consciously put certain players in some very tough decisions, in some very tough positions against some extremely fast receivers, against an extremely athletic tight end, so they can work on certain things. If we go 2 years back against the Green Bay Packers, we put our linebackers on Aaron Jones, locked him up man-to-man with no help over and over again that entire game. And it cost us that ball game, but it also taught us some things about the coverage ability and some, you know, what needed to be worked on. And so sometimes you have growth moments throughout the season that you're just working on things.
A lot of times, yeah.
A lot of times. And then when you get to the end of the season, for these last 2 or 3 weeks, is when you put all that together, all those ingredients together. And the phenomenal thing about this defense as we did against last year, right? It was like week 12 when the defense came together after the Titans game, and it was just a whole new defense. It seems like this playoff defense is, right? It doesn't matter if we was 32nd in the red zone during the regular season. Like, again, it was certain things we were working on that nobody had to know what it was. But now the things, it's do or die. You make your tomorrow. Our defense is now working together as a unit. And no matter what the scenario is, guys are very confident and they trust each other. And we're seeing guys playing with the proper leverage and intensity. And now we're seeing our guys flying around and make hits.
Yeah.
Juan Thornhill, man, he played an awesome game. He's played as good a game I've seen since the injury.
Before his knee, yep. You know what? I would say, and piggybacking off of Barbershop, don't mistake growth and a step-by-step process as sandbagging. There's no sandbagging in the NFL. There's never a situation that I've been a part of as a player or otherwise where I heard players taking off because of whatever excuse there is. The guys go out there, they play 100% or you get hurt. And that's what I was always taught. You play anytime, most of the injuries that you see on the field, you know, Eric Fisher, that's a freak accident. Achilles blown out as he's put in his past set. But most other injuries, it's guys standing around a pile, don't go in with the proper technique on a tackle, get lazy with their hands or with their feet. And next thing you know, they get rolled up, ankle, knee, blah, blah, blah. You go 100% all the time. That's how you're trained. That's how you're drilled. That's how you're brainwashed. And you have no other option to not do that. And there's no taking time off. I can tell you, you know, they expected to be here. So I think human nature shows that, you know what, sometimes you might, not saying that you lose focus, but you know what the end goal is, and you just hope that you can fast forward to it. It's like, you know, 3 days before Christmas, if you're a kid, you like, you know, it's there. Let's hurry up and get there. Yeah. I might not be the best. I might not be best for Santa Claus over these next 2 days because I want to hurry up and get to Christmas. Now, Christmas is next week for this Chiefs team. We appreciate all the calls, Brian. Outstanding job. We got the text line open. But before we get to the text line, and I want to get to them in the fourth quarter of this show, this third quarter is brought to you by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. I want to go through the NFL hires because we obviously have a situation here, and I'm going to let it breathe a little bit after Barbershop chimes in. But we had 7 openings for head coaching jobs, and no one from the Chiefs was a recipient of any of those jobs. And Barbershop, I want to get your thoughts on this whole debacle that I want to call it.
I mean, if I'm looking at it from a Chiefs standpoint, then I'm clapping my hands and I'm realizing that we just now created more separation between ourselves and everybody else. Like every year, I believe the teams that are in the AFC Championship game and NFC Championship game, if I'm a team that's losing, I want to get something from a winner. I want a winning mentality in mm-hmm. my building.
Yep.
So OC, defense coordinator, quarterback, something from one of those winning teams, those two teams. I want that in my building because I want my players to understand he knows what it takes to get to that level. If I go around picking and plucking teams from non-playoff teams, that's just more of what we already have. So I think the separation, the gap. The gap between the Chiefs and everybody else, even before next season starts, has already got the divide is even greater right yeah. now, based off of people's if you want to call it lack of interest or lack of smarts or whatever term you want to use it, the leadership development that goes on here in Kansas City and the great leaders as we have with Coach Tobe, Coach Bieniemy, Coach Spagnuolo. We get to retain all of that knowledge and wealth here in the kingdom for another season, another off season. I think our guys will just develop and grow at a greater rate than everybody else in the league.
You know what? It's one of those bittersweet type of deals because you recognize the greatness that you have, and human nature is that you want to keep all that and embrace everything about it because this could be an epic dynasty and run that we have not seen in the NFL for a very long time. But yet, you want people to have their props. You want people to have their due. And unfortunately, when I look at this list, Brandon Staley, Nick Sirianni, Arthur Smith, Urban Meyer, Robert Saleh, Dan Campbell, and David Culley, very few names on that list, to me, warrant being above the three names that you mentioned just a second ago. And then add Kafka to that list as well. So four guys on this Chiefs organization, to me, would warrant probably more than half of the names to replace half of the names on that list that I've shown. And part of the reason is you have a team that's been to three straight AFC championships, hosted all three, is two straight Super Bowls, possibly win two straight Super Bowls. And I don't think that there has been any precedent that you've seen in the past that mirrors this to the extent that no one from that staff leaves. And it kind of goes along with what you said, Barbershop. I do believe there's some racial component. I do believe that some of the standards and status that is put on excuses why Eric Bieniemy did not get a job or garner a job after 15-plus interviews over his years are excuses that were not given to other people. People always want to say, well, he doesn't call the plays. Well, name one person on this list, or name more than two or three people on this list that call plays. Mm-hmm. What about when Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy were here? They are pretty much the same. Andy didn't stop or start calling plays after those guys left. So I think there's some misnomers out there that are unfortunate. There are multiple components that can be true. I think we learned that whether it's through the pandemic or the craziness that we have dealt with in our society this year, multiple things can be true. It's not a one thing only situation that factors in. And it's unfortunate because I think Eric Bieniemy is a great guy. He's shown to be a great man, a great leader of men. And like I mentioned last week, and I went on a rant last week where I said, name me a team in NFL history, in sports history, that have actively gotten endorsements from the head coach and the star players publicly in the midst of a dynasty run to actually have somebody leave. It's never happened before. I would venture to believe someone has to prove me wrong to say that actively, from the star quarterback, tight end, running back, wide receiver, head coach, and everyone else, defensive back and the Honey Badger, everyone that speaks about Eric Bieniemy speaks to the fact that they want him to leave to get a head coaching job, even though they are going on three straight AFC championships and now two straight Super Bowls. It's never happened before. So to me, if there are owners out there that are running their business for their teams and they're not factoring that in, especially with Andy Reid and his reputation, they are sorely missing a great opportunity to upgrade their organization. And yeah, that benefits us, but it's unfortunate for EB.
And you know, the way I see this kind of playing itself out is there are certain coaches that have, when I say overqualified, it's almost like they are so perfect fit to be able to do such a great job that a organization that lacks great leadership has a problem identifying leadership. Yeah. And that's the problem. The people right now that are the hiring firms or the people that are telling the Houston Texans and the Detroit Lions and all these other, and the Jack, like, hey, this is who you should be looking for. This is the style of bright mindedness, and you got to have somebody who's super creative. Nah, man, a head coach does one thing. He creates an environment for guys to learn.
Yeah,
that's what they do. They make sure that the waters are calm. They make sure that when the ship is getting a little rocky, people ain't jumping off.
You mean like people ain't biting kneecaps and stuff?
No, I ain't never.
Never had a coach?
A lot of football in my life. I've heard a lot of coaches. I listen to a lot of coaches. I mean, there's a lot of football in my life. I ain't never. And that's what I'm saying. That was very unique.
Yes.
Never heard nobody talking about biting no kneecaps.
And I don't care if people want to excuse the fire from a player's perspective, especially at that level, that does not resonate in the locker room. We think you are crazy. You are not necessarily a person that will lead us to the promised land, especially an organization like the Lions that hasn't done very much positive. So, contrary to maybe some people might think, that will probably bode to be a bad move by the Detroit Lions, but it'll be a string of bad moves that we've seen
Danny,
from
but
him.
Real quick, you know what I think about him? What? I think he knew what they wanted. Like, he knew that the guy before him was like Silent Bob.
Yeah.
Never said a word.
So he went the extra opposite.
I'm going to go
degree
so
turn.
Opposite. And I'm going to start talking about kneecaps and all that kind of stuff. So he did what he had to do to get the job.
Yep, unfortunately. So we'll be back. We got the fourth quarter coming up. We need to beg Steven Spector for an extra hour during the playoff runs and Super Bowl runs. If we get there next year, we're going to lock the doors. We ain't changing nothing. But we do got to take a break. We'll come back for the fourth quarter real quick, get to our text line. We'll see what's going on there.
Whoop, whoop.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back. Fourth quarter of the show. Time has flown by. We only got a few minutes left. A lot of great topics, a lot of great texts, Barbershop.
Well, let's go with the 660. Do we know exactly what's going on with EB in these meetings? As it could he be completely happy in Kansas City just waiting for Andy Reid to retire? What are our feelings about that?
You know what? I think he's happy here, but he has shown and talked about wanting a head coaching job, but it has to be a situation where it's right for him. And also, just letting it breathe a little bit, I had texted out that there was going to be big news in the Chiefs' kingdom this week. I had gotten word from someone close to that Houston Texans situation that EB, it was his job basically to lose without any more interviews. And I think it came down to recognizing, and I don't know David Culley, but recognizing that maybe the structure above is more conducive to someone that will fall in line versus someone who might want to run his own ship because he's come from greatness and seen greatness at hand. That was the big news. So every person has been tweeting at me, what was the big news? That was supposed to be the big news. And unfortunately, a dysfunctional Houston Texans organization turned left away from those sources and that information I had.
And then the 785 talks about prior to the Packer game, the Bucs only had two sacks in the playoffs. Both came against the Washington Redskins. I mean, the Washington football team. Excuse my French. They have seven total in three games against playoff teams. And what do we think about that? Obviously, I think that, you know, like I said, I think we stated before, the Chiefs have over four sacks, 10 pressures and interception against a very mobile Allen, against a Buffalo Bill team that was doing very well at protecting the QB. Against Baker Mayfield, I think we did a tremendous job forcing him to be out of the pocket, making him make throws on the move. I think our defense does a great job of knowing and understanding play recognition. We know when plays are supposed to be three-step quick hitters, our guys are phenomenal about rerouting guys, getting in their face, being aggressive, trying to throw off timing. And then when throws are trying to go deep second level, play action pass. That gives our D-line a little bit of extra chance to get there, and we've been phenomenal about, we call it green dog, and adding to a rush, bringing an extra person. And our guys on the back end have been awesome at playing cover zero, or using the sideline, using all your help and your leverage to play the coverage the correct way. So I think we've just been executing at a higher level than any other team right now defensively in the playoffs.
Yep, and we go to the text line from the 785. Does Dana know his first TD like Barbershop didn't know his first sack? Yes, I do absolutely know my first touchdown. It was against my home state, New York Giants, here at Arrowhead Stadium. It was 322 Y stick, and I had the backside spot route in the red zone. Steve Bono to me for my first regular season touchdown. I had some preseason, but first regular season touchdown.
Yeah, again, there that was. Diva. He you know confirms it. That diva status. got a photographic memory of all the touchdown catches. Like, you know, I scored a touchdown. I didn't remember who it was. I gave the ball to the referee. Here, take this. I'll be back.
Ultimately, that's because as an offensive guy, we have a stronger capacity of memory. And, you know, defensive guys are just thumpers. They, you know, they lose those brain cells on every single play. But we appreciate everybody listening to the Players Only. This fourth quarter was brought to you by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Julio directing the traffic. We appreciate you, Barbershop.
Man, I got Joe Mays. Joe Mays. Center, man, get down there and get your treatment. Get rested up.
Get your woosah. Get your woosah going. And we'll see him next week. And then after that, we're going to have ourselves another party in the state of Florida for this Super Bowl 55 coming up. Thanks again. Players Only. We'll be back in the building next Thursday. We'll chop it up. We'll get into the game plan, as well as the keys to victory for this Chiefs, old school versus new school. We'll see you then.
This is Players Only with Damon Hughes and Joe Mays on 610 Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.